When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So that's why I felt that we needed to get the job done, because we have to.
So you overruled your wife?
I did.
Come on up.
This is the plaintiff, Carlita Belgrove. She says she was hired by the defendant to restore a red antique chamber stove from the 1950s, and the guy paid her for all her hard work with a rubber check. Her company has an A rating. All her customers are satisfied with her services, and she deserves every penny of the $1,500 she's suing for today. This is the defendant, James. He says the plaintiff used scare tactics to get him to use her to convert the stove to propane, because if he didn't, he would be putting everyone's lives in jeopardy. He felt like he was coerced into these repairs, which were unwarranted. He never agreed to the exorbitant price she charged after the work was done, and believes he doesn't owe her a penny. He's accused of turning up the heat.
All parties, please raise your right hands.
What you are about to witness is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants with a case pending in civil court. Both parties have agreed to drop their claims and have their cases settled here before Judge Marilyn Million in our forum, the People's Court.
Be seated. Come to order, please. Litigants have been sworn, Your Honor.
Thank you, Douglas.
You're welcome.
Okay, Belgrove Appliances, represented here by Carlita Belgrove.
Yes.
You're the owner?
Yes.
And those gentlemen are...
employees.
Okay. You are suing James. You've asked us not to mention your last name, and we'll respect that, for $1,500, the cost of a job, travel, tax, and your time wasted because they canceled the check on you. Mm-hmm. All right, tell me
and
what happened.
And also fees that I paid other people to help me file the paperwork.
Okay, what happened?
On May 30th, first of all, I'm the stove lady. I have an antique stove business. We're the only company of the kind in the next five states. So
you're the only company of
this
kind?
That's right. We sell antique stoves. We restore them. I got my claim to fame because I did most of the work until I trained these guys to do it for me. So in this particular
case... Okay, well, hold on. How'd you get into that?
Yeah, well, my dad passed away, and we started the business over again, and then I started specializing in antique stoves instead of doing, like, landlord-tenant stoves and things like that.
How did you get into that?
Well, I started fixing. I used to be a finance manager. I actually quit my job. The people appreciated the work I did much more than in finance. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, that might say something too. But
so now I've been doing this actually for 15 years. I've had this business.
Do you have a picture of the stove?
Yes.
May I see it? Okay. So you get a phone call or an email. What's your first contact?
I don't remember whether he called me first, but I think he filled out a service request. We didn't get it at first. So on May 30th in my email is the first service request I have from him requesting the service.
That's beautiful. It's breathtaking. All right. So tell me, you get a call from him. He wants you to come out and do what?
Basically, he filled out a request and asked me to come out and convert his stove from natural gas to propane. He said...
So you go out there, and it's how far from you?
It's about 2 hours, and I printed out the map request.
Okay, had you talked to him about travel time?
I sure did. I have it in an email where I posted how much travel time is, how much...
Where you say to him that it's what?
$80 per hour for travel time. I have it right here. As a recap, we charge $80 per hour for travel to and from your location. Also, you will be charged a minimum service charge of $95.
So what happens when you... You needed to do what? Switch it from
natural gas to propane. Propane is a stronger gas. So
okay, from natural gas to propane. And what efforts, how did you end up finding her?
Well, it was two things. We had the receipt from the previous owner, and then I said, well, let me look around to find somebody closer. And like she said, there was no other service contractor in the area, just her. So right. I called her, and I agreed on all those things.
So she gets there, and
so
what
happens? So she gets there, and I had already looked online to see what needs to be done, but there was supposed to be a conversion kit. So I was expecting, you know, some work. She came in and she asked me what I already did. And I said, well, I adjusted the valves, and all you need to do is just turn things down to make the flames less strong or powerful, whatever. So I explained that to her, and she said, okay, well, this is not safe. And she gave me the impression that if she didn't do the job completely, that she wouldn't be responsible for the any damage that happened afterwards.
Meaning it's unsafe for you to not
right,
have her do the job.
Right. And then I called my wife up because then she said, okay, now I have to do this job and I'm expecting a conversion kit.
What did you call your wife about?
Well, I called my wife and told her what was happening, and then the price was quoted for the complete conversion of $500, and all this time I kept saying, how are you coming up with this figure for that? And then she again gave me the impression that it was unsafe if the job wasn't done. So I was still expecting a conversion kit. But
okay,
she was done with the job afterwards.
No, wait. You skipped a bunch. You called your wife in order to discuss what?
I called my wife up after we found out there was going to be $500.
Okay, and I'm still, but is that before she does the job?
Well, she didn't do anything yet.
So I am correct, that's before she does the job. So you call your wife to say it's $500, and what does your wife say?
Don't have her do the job.
Okay.
So, and I said, but she's saying that if we don't get the job done, we can't use the stove.
Okay, so,
so
then
that's
what?
Why I felt that we needed to get the job done, because we have to
so
use
So you overruled your wife?
Yeah, I did.
Come on up. So on the phone you told him, tell me how it sounded. Was it absolutely not, tell her no, pay her her service charge and let her go? Or was it, you do what you want, but I think that's a lot. Which one was it?
No, I basically told him not to, you know, that unless she's going to be doing what we had contracted her to do.
What did you contract her to do?
Well,
you contracted her to do nothing. You said,
right.
We don't want to hire her.
Right.
And he said, okay, honey, love you, bye. You're hired.
Basically.
That's how it worked out.
You hadn't
hired her yet.
No.
What do you mean?
Well,
she didn't.
No, wait, I wanted to hear what
she
meant.
We thought that she was going to put the conversion kit in. We really,
but where did you guys get all that from? How are you the experts now?
We actually did our research.
Afterwards?
Beforehand.
Right, you did. If you are saying she was there to put a conversion kit, she breached the contract by not putting a conversion kit, then I better see something where it says that you hired her to put a conversion kit. Not that afterwards you thought about it, wrote her a check, accepted the deal, and then stopped payment on the check. Because then you got a fixed stove that no one in the five-state area could fix except for the stove lady.
That's right.
And then after she drives 2 hours away, mm-hmm. you end up burning her.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is...
No, that's not how...
Okay, well, I got to make sure it's not that.
Okay.
Because
not
I got to tell you, when a guy writes a check, it looks like that. Especially when you tell him don't do it, he hangs up with you and he admits he turned around and told her to do it.
Okay.
So how did it get from $500 to $895?
We don't know how it got to be that.
Where's the invoice? Did he sign an invoice?
He signed an invoice.
How do you not know? It's right on the invoice.
He signed a contract.
Ooh!
I had him sign the contract.
He grabbed the nearest roll of toilet paper and a crayon, hand it to my bailiff. My bailiff.
And when we finished...
Hold on. Wait.
Give her a moment.
Give me a moment. Just soak it all in.
I actually have a
better
picture.
So you just wrote it down. Where's the actual one? Why is it a picture?
I have a better picture on the computer.
Why don't you just have it?
Because the guy who went with
me. You left it with them?
Yeah, the guy who went with me. And I have a letter from him as well.
Wait. Just please let me soak this in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this picture was taken of the contract at the site, at the home.
Yes.
Do you watch People's Court?
Yes.
I feel so vindicated. Agree to above work for $780 plus tax includes travel.
You can see it.
Warranty 90 days.
Yes.
There was no condition.
Yeah. The check is on top of it, so there's part that I can't...
Right. In the video, you can see that I moved the check and it lists everything that was done.
There's a video?
Yes, I took a video and I even asked him in the video, is he okay with the work? And he said, I'm fine.
No, you didn't.
I sure did.
No,
and
you
and
did.
And it showed the stove working as well.
I need a cigarette right now.
All right.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Harvey Levin here. So is having an antique stove a cool thing or pain in the butt?
I don't think it's that cool. I think it's a pain in the butt.
I mean, they look so much cooler than ordinary stoves, right?
Yes, I think it would be really cool. I mean, it's neat, it's antique, and it's something different.
And it's harder to use, which is the point, right?
Yeah, if you're cooking 5 meals a day, I don't want an antique stove.
Excuse me, 5 meals? Who cooks 5 meals a day?
I'm in a week.
Oh, okay. Okay, boy. Okay, going inside the courtroom.
Am I going to see you on video saying everything? Oh, look at the wife. Oh, give me a... Does this take pictures? I need to take a picture of the... Did you know that he... That, well, let's see. Maybe she's overselling it. Let's just see, shall we? Can you please press... But where do I go for the video?
Yeah, you know, it's a new computer.
I'm so happy right now. I can't tell you because I don't think I ever see this kind of stuff. Go ahead.
He just paid $843.38 to have the stove converted and adjusted from natural gas to propane.
Okay, I'm pausing so I can read the whole thing. Convert to propane for manual lighting. Turn off main pilot. Agree to above work, $780. Okay. And you signed that, right?
Yes. But my question was that to her, as she mentioned there about some people don't need a conversion kit. I thought the whole thing needed to be converted, not just a few knobs needed to be changed.
Oh, so let's get down to the nitty-gritty of what's going on here. What you don't like is that she charged you $780 for too little and too easy a job that you wish you could have figured out yourself.
I already had figured it out.
But then why did you need her and call her?
Because somebody...
Is it working now or is it not working now?
It works now.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
So I guess when you turn knobs, it is not the same as when the stove lady turns knobs. It is not the same. And that is why lawyers and doctors and plumbers and stove ladies can charge obscene amounts. That's how it works sometimes. Okay? Let's see.
Way too high. Here's the stove. And we're gonna just light the burners. Turn.
Did he not like you videoing or something? Because he seems kind of.
Well,
He had an attitude by then because.
By then, why? Because he realized how quick it was.
Because, and he had followed me out to my car to see what. I mean, he was right on my back the whole entire time as if he didn't trust me, which is why I checked for the stop payment in the first place.
Oh.
Clients that don't trust you can't be trusted.
So, how that happened? You do all the work, then you take your 2-hour drive back.
I go pick up my other guy, take my 2-hour drive back, and I said, I don't trust this guy. Let me deposit this check. And I
immediately, that same day?
That same day, and because it was a Chase check and that's where I bank, I said, can you check for a stop payment? And she said, how did you know there was a stop payment on this check? So within 2.5 hours, he had stopped payment on the check.
Why?
Because we agreed to her travel fee. We agreed to her service fee, but we certainly didn't agree to what she had.
Are you out of your mind?
No,
your
I'm not
own husband is standing next to you testifying that he signed a contract beforehand agreeing to pay the fee. You agreed to this, and then you were perfectly fine ending up leaving her hanging out to dry. Thinking what? She lived 2 hours away and she wouldn't buy. Put your hand down. Please.
Your Honor.
Please. Let me see your bank. Did they charge you at your bank?
No, because I didn't even deposit it. But other people charged me. I had trouble filing the papers. I paid different people to help me file the papers.
Do you have receipts for these people?
I don't have those with me.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Okay.
All right, so let's see what the check was for, which was $843.38. I am ordering them to pay you your court costs, and I am ordering them to pay you prejudgment statutory interest in your state since the time of this repair.
Thank you.
Okay? Good luck, everybody.
I'm making the video.
Okay, step over here, please. Your reaction on how this case wound up?
Well, I was disappointed, and it's a little embarrassing, but nothing we can do about it.
You mad at him for overruling you?
I'm not mad at him, no.
No?
No.
Maybe
I mean,
a little annoyed.
Sometimes it's a judgment call.
Where are you going? We done talking?
You are done talking.
Okay, we're done talking.
So
okay, right around the corner here.
Hi, how are you? All right, here comes the oven lady.
Stove lady.
Okay.
Stovelady.com.
The stove lady, okay.
Yes.
How's it going?
It feels good because he asked us to do the job. I never told him it was going to blow up his house because he didn't use the stove before. He just tried to fix it himself.
What did you mean you didn't trust the guy? How did you?
Because,
where's this into?
First of all, he went against what his wife said on the phone, and he didn't tell his wife we were charging before he came out there, obviously, because she was surprised about the fees. So
you thought because he didn't...
If he lied to his wife, of course he's going to lie to me.
Huh. Are these the stove guys over here?
These are the stove guys.
The stove
That's the number one stove man over there. Yeah. Number two stove man.
Do you guys sing?
Number three stove man. No, we don't sing. Right. Sorry. We only fix stoves.
Okay, Kurt, you know, you should know this. In many states, if you write a check knowing at the time that check is going to bounce, that it's not good, they can sock you for twice, and in some states, even three times the value of the check. And that will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
These are the plaintiffs, Vivian Pantoja and John Evans. Vivian says the defendant, a groomer, cut their adorable dog Nibbles and also injured his leg. They had to rush him to a vet with a big gash on his head, are now facing even more vet bills to fix his hurt leg, and are suing the defendant for the $5,000 in future vet bills they're sure to incur. This is the defendant, Teresa Berry. She says the plaintiff's dog is very aggressive and violent and needed to be on Valium before going to a groomer, but she did nick his head while grooming him one day. She went to the vet, but the plaintiffs paid the vet bill for the small cut on his head and thought that would be that. Now, the opportunists are trying to get more money out of her for a hurt leg? Please. Now they're just trying to take advantage. She's accused of cutting it a little too close.
All parties, please raise your right hands.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case in the docket, the plaintiffs say the defendant cut their dog Nibbles during grooming and cut him real bad. But the defendant says the dog was kind of crazy and even needed Valium. It's the case of taking a nibble out of Nibbles.
Thank you, Douglas. Vivian Pantoja and John Evans, you are suing Teresa Berry's salon. You've asked us not to mention the name. You changed it to $5,000. It was $1,000 until today. You amended it?
Yes.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay, to $5,000 in estimated cost for future vet bills, because according to you, she injured your dog. Tell me what happened.
Okay. As I walk Nibbles every day, I ran into a neighborhood friend which recommended that there was a groomer in the neighborhood.
A groomer in town. Okay.
Right.
So at the end of 2014, you took your dog over there.
Sure.
And everything was fine.
Perfect.
Okay. You took the dog again when?
The 16th.
Of?
March.
Okay. Is that correct? Is it the 16th of March that you see the register receipt?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And what is it that happened on the 16th of March? Tell me.
Okay. I asked her if I can stay with Nibbles and, you know, maybe be a comfort to have him groomed.
Had there been issues with Nibbles being agitated before that?
Yes.
Okay. And in fact, you had given a sedative to Nibbles before.
Because she suggested that I would take him to my vet and ask the vet to give him some kind of sedative, like a Valium. And I did so.
A doggy Valium.
Right. And I did so.
Okay.
And...
So on this last time when you went and asked to be a comfort to the dog, were you by the dog when the dog was
being groomed? No, she didn't allow me to. She said, if you want to stay, you have to stay downstairs in her entrance of her door, this little lounge.
Because she thought it would be worse for you to be there?
I guess so.
All right. So you're downstairs, and what happened?
Then there was like silence. I didn't hear Nibbles at all. All I heard was like an appliance fall and her saying like, hold him. Like, hold him.
Hold him.
Right.
Okay.
And that was it. And then about 20 minutes later, she walks down with her daughter, and Nibbles just like, I was sitting down, he actually just like hopped into my arms, and she was like, oh, he nipped me. And she said, I even had my daughter try to hold him, and he's out of control, and, you know. And I said, what happened to his head? And it was a gash on his head.
A gash. Did you take a picture?
Yes.
May I see it?
Sure.
What happened to the, did something happen to the dog's head?
Yes, I accidentally cut the dog's head with scissors, a small little nip, and I put...
Why?
The dog moved and got cut.
It's a much better picture if you go down the
other way. There's like four.
Yeah, here you go.
There's more, I think.
Where on her head was it?
On his
top of the head.
His
top.
Head, sorry.
This side.
Right on the top? All right. It's kind of big. It's not small.
Yeah.
All right. So you see that and you say to her, what happened? And she says,
you know, I said, listen, his vet is closed at this time. I'm going to the nearest, which was compassionate.
Did you give the dog a Valium before coming to court?
No. That's the first time he's ever had a tranquilizer.
Okay. I was just wondering because the dog is super chill right now.
No. No.
As the kids would say.
As of course.
All right. So, so you take the dog where?
So I took him to Compassionary, where he used to go when he was a baby.
Okay.
Okay? But I shot over, and about 5 minutes later, she's behind me. And I'm explaining what's going on, and she, out of the back of me, comes a voice saying, I'm the groomer, and I'm going to pay for the damage that's been done.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And she paid for a shot of antibiotics for 2 weeks, but the gash was like kind of...
Well, the vet told you the dog can go home.
No.
The vet did tell you that.
The vet told me.
And then you said, I don't want the dog to come home.
No.
I want the dog to stay there overnight.
Because I was afraid.
And you paid for the overnight stay, and you thought it was over. When did you learn that it wasn't over?
I didn't learn it wasn't over until I received a notice in the mail from the small claims court. She'd taken me to court.
Did she talk to you at all about the dog requiring further care?
No.
You end up taking the dog the next day from that vet to your vet?
Yes.
Okay. And when you take the dog to your vet, what happens? You say it's the next day. So the next day would be March 17th.
Yes.
Can I see the vet bill from March 17th?
This was the one from where I took the...
Yeah, that's not what I'm
asking. Okay. Trying to get the one from... But
let's see that while you got
the 17th right here.
Okay.
Here's the one from the 17th.
Okay. This is from the first vet where she had shown up behind
exactly.
you. Then what is this? This is a piece of paper with notes on it. Where's the actual vet... to show that you went on 317.
That's what I'm saying. It says it there.
No, sweetheart. I need something from the vet saying you showed up there 317. And let me tell you why I need something. Because what I have instead is a bill that you are presenting to the court on April 17, which is a month later. And this is relevant because you now want them to pay, you want her to pay $5,000 for a surgery that you say is a result of this cut?
So if the dog's moving around, and the groomer cuts him, is the groomer responsible for vet bills?
Yeah, I would say that is because it's part of his responsibility to actually account for those situations beforehand.
But how do you account for it if the dog's skittish?
Nah, you know, I just think accidents happen, man.
So the groomer's not responsible?
Nah, not really. You know.
Okay, you're the tiebreaker.
I think the groomer is responsible.
Because?
Taking control.
For taking control.
Yeah.
How do you control a dog that's like...
Do your best.
Okay, going inside the courtroom.
How is a surgery, and the surgery's for what? Tell me what the surgery's for.
Because his leg, he can't walk on it.
Okay, well, can you put the dog down in the center there so I can see how the dog walks? But what does that have to do with the groomer cutting the dog's...
Because the dog did not go inside.
Can you put the dog
that way? Nibbles did not walk in that way.
Come here, Nibbles. Come here, Nibbles. Kind of bouncy. Does your dog bite?
No.
Is this your dog?
Yes.
Oh, you're so cute. You're such a tiny thing. Okay, don't step on him. Okay, now, according to you, the dog had, what's the right term, luxating? Was bow-legged before all this happened,
when
right?
he was born, he walked very lightly bow-legged.
Bow-legged?
2 months old.
Yeah. And what evidence do you have that this surgery, and by the way, you have two bills from the vet on April 14th. One is for a bilateral surgery, and then I guess like 24 seconds later, you asked them to just do one leg. What would it cost to do one leg? And then they gave you a second bill with like $600 off?
The doctor, the vet, He said, I asked
him
just for one leg.
So why does a vet, if the dog only needs one leg, why would the doctor have given you a quote for the two legs?
Because he said.
And we know the dog had this problem beforehand. And how did the groomer do that? By cutting the head? Because I'm still missing that.
May I say something? Mm-hmm. The dog, you know, initially the dog was born like bow-legged. When he came from the vet, the dog was no longer able to put pressure on his right hind leg. He would walk and then he would lift his right hind leg
up. Do you have anything from the doctor that says that? And I also still need something from the vet that says that you went in on 317.
This has to be 317.15.
Here you go.
They put the papers on and stuff. Just like I could tell you, they wrote the prescription on wrong dates.
Okay, on the 317 visit, I do see 317 visit. And on the 317 visit, there's not one word about how the dog walks. Not one.
Okay, now.
So if, in fact, it's a groomer's fault that the dog is limping, because I don't know what the theory is, a groomer dropped, did you drop the dog? Can't hear you.
No, Your Honor, I did not drop the dog.
Can you look through the papers? Because they're all together.
Right, but I'm looking at the 317 entry, and it's saying what you told them. Patient went to the groomers while being groomed. Patient was nicked with the clippers. Small cut on the top of the head.
It's in there.
Yeah, it's in there. It's in there a month later. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's in there on April 10th, and then the quotes are April 17th.
Okay, I read it, and there's got to be in those videos.
Yeah, we're done, okay? No. It is there, but it's there on the date I said it was. You've already paid for the actual cut, so my verdict in this case is for the defendant.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Oh, by the way, I have another question.
Can I have my papers?
Because it is curious. Oh, and this is your phone. Why are you suing if it costs for one leg 25 and for another, and, I'm sorry, for both legs 25 and for one leg less than that. Why are you suing for five?
That's my fault, Your Honor. That's my fault.
Because you're greedy?
No.
Okay, because you're opportunistic? No. Okay.
All right.
More
than $1,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, here come the plaintiffs out into the hallway here, and Nibbles, too. Step on in here. What's your reaction to the outcome of the case here?
I'm very disappointed and hurt because I was trying to explain to the judge that apparently they have written the wrong dates on those papers. They made a mistake, and they're speaking about it. I wish I can get the papers that she has so she can see that it's in there. She won't read all the papers.
Well, why'd you sue for so much, though? I mean, that was a mistake. Here, step on up. It wasn't Nibbles' fault, right?
No, definitely not Nibbles' fault. It was my fault because at the time that I filed a claim, I filed for $1,000. Mm-hmm. But consequently, we found out that the surgery would be anywhere between $25,000 and $4,000.
How's Nibbles doing?
Nibbles
right,
is doing
Nibbles? Good boy.
Not great, but not he's great. Doing. He's
right.
Doing.
I don't like the way Nibbles is looking at me. Huh? All right, head right around.
Because
right
he's on. Disappointed too.
Thank you.
Nibbles, you disappointed Nibbles. Step on up here. You cut Nibbles, and now you disappointed Nibbles.
I'm so sorry. He's disappointed.
Yeah. How about the cut?
I'm glad this is over.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think they were trying to take advantage of you?
Yes, I even had it written down from a letter from her in April stating that he already had this problem.
All right. So, what do you think, Harvey?
Okay, Kurt, you know what? If you engage in monkey business by tinkering with the evidence and making it look one way when it really isn't, I'm telling you, you're going to blow your credibility. And that will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
This is the plaintiff, Sheila Sims. She says she bought a car from her niece, entered into a payment plan, and when she had only two payments left, the defendant went crazy. She called the cops, told them she had stolen the car, and she snatched it. Now she has paid all this money, has no car. Family shouldn't treat family this way because it's just not right. She's suing for $1,500, the amount she's owed. This is the defendant, Tyra Harris. She says her aunt was consistently late making her payments. It put her into a financial hardship because she was depending on those payments to feed her three babies, and the woman took advantage of her. She lost patience, called the cops, got her car back, and now the woman is suing her when she drove the car for all these months? Come on. She's accused of letting an aunt down.
All parties, please raise your right hands.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case on the docket, the plaintiff bought a car from her niece and made all but two payments when the niece called the cops and said the car was stolen. But the defendant says the plaintiff just stopped paying. It's the case of I hate my nieces to pieces.
Thank you, Douglas. Sheila Sims, you're suing your niece, Tiara?
Tyra
Harris for $1,500, the amount that you've paid her for a car that she repossessed. What happened?
On July 2014, I was looking to buy a car, and I found out from my brother, Ronnie, that the defendant was selling a 2004 Pontiac Grand Prix. I told my brother that I was going to text her to inquire about the car.
All right, so you did, and you come to an agreement to buy the 2004 Pontiac for $2,000.
Exactly.
Okay, but what you had offered to her was to give her how much down?
I gave her $600.
No, not what you gave her. What did you offer to do?
I offered to give her $600 down.
Not $1,000?
No, not $1,000.
$600 down, and then what?
And $200 a month after that until the car was paid off.
So when were you going to have the car paid off then? That would take a while.
Well, I paid her. Well, I gave her $600 and I started paying her in September.
How much did you pay in September?
$300.
Why $300? You say that's not true. She was supposed to give you $1,000 down.
Right.
That's why you got a check for $600 and then another check for $300 right afterwards.
Right.
And initially, you still didn't get the $1,000.
Right. Because initially it was supposed to be $1,000 in August and $1,000 in September. I was just moving back with my three children, no job. So I really didn't even want to sell it to family, but I was going to look out for my aunt. The car was worth like $3,200. I was expecting.
Okay. So according to you, the agreement is $1,000. Do you have anything in writing?
Yes.
Tyra, how much are you selling your car for? I'm interested in buying. Answer, I want $2,000. You say, okay, I work on the $2,000. Got any more buyers? Yeah, but they said they need time. Me too. I can give you $1,000 by the end of next month and the next $1,000 in September. That's my offer. Whoever comes first with the money. Okay, sounds like a plan. Here. So then what happens? According to you,
so then about a week or two later, she was like, I don't have the $1,000 up front. Can I give you $600?
Oh, okay. Hold on. So she didn't have the car yet?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then you did agree to $600.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought that she got the car and then didn't give you.
No.
Okay.
No.
So then you agree to $600.
Yep.
And then you agree to $300 right after that.
$400 on that Thursday.
Oh, it's supposed to be $400 on that Thursday,
yeah.
Because it's the full $1,000, like the.
Right.
Okay. And then she didn't give you $400 on the Thursday. She gave you $300. So that's offense number one.
And it was $300 3 weeks later, not that Thursday.
So it was late and the wrong amount.
Right.
All right. When did you give her the car? When she paid $900?
No, when she gave me the $600.
You gave her the car with the $600?
Yes, she promised 2 days later.
I know
to
she
give
promised,
me,
but well, once you release the car, what's going to happen?
Well, it was my aunt, and I figured.
Okay, fabulous.
Know, right.
So,
lesson learned.
Right.
So, I even kept the car registered in my name. She said, give me 30 days. I'll get the taxes and everything.
30 days?
No. And that's, she's.
How long were you driving that car?
August, September, October, November, December, 5 months.
In 5 months, you didn't register it in your name?
January.
That's when you repossessed it?
Yes.
Why didn't you register it in your name and all
because
that time?
Because I told Tyra I didn't have, like, I owe taxes, and I said, can I keep it?
Why are all your problems Tyra's problems? She came here with three kids, she relocated, she's got her own problems.
I understand that, Judge. But what I'm trying to get across is that
Did she ever agree for you to pay in dribs and drabs like
this?
Yes,
I gave her
just a moment. Or did she agree to take here? Okay, you're going to give me the other $400. All right, go ahead. And then you're still supposed to pay the $1,000 in September. Where's the agreement on her part that you pay her $200 a month? You mean you just told her and she said, well, she's got the car already. All right, I'll take it like I can get it.
No,
is that what it looked like?
It was an oral agreement.
Did it come after you had the car?
No, it was before I had the car. I told her I was going to give her $600 down and pay her $200 a month until the car is paid off. And I gave her that extra
$300. Do you have any proof of what you're saying?
No, I don't have that.
Do you have any text messages between you two back and forth regarding, or any phone messages or anything to talk so that I can get elucidated about what your agreement was?
One of the papers I just gave you was about the $600. I'll give you $600 today.
Tyra, I have $600 of the car money waiting to get paid on Thursday to give you the rest unless you want the $600 now. Do the transaction today, I can give you the $400 on Thursday.
Yep.
All right, and that doesn't happen. You give her $300, and how much later do you give her $300?
She says 3 weeks. The 26th of August, I gave her
the 600. So I think it was like the 11th of September.
So it was 3 weeks later, a couple weeks later. So that's not what you had agreed to do. All right. And then now what happens when you finally snap? Because it's 5 months and you're taking the money and there's very little left. It's 1500. You had how much that you had to continue? 1500 been paid. So you had another 500.
500,
that's
yes.
2.5 months. So what happened?
You know, every month it was something, you know, oh, my light bill's high. Can you wait a few more weeks? The other thing that's is because she was paying me late. She thought that that was the new date now for the following month. But I'm like, no, it's supposed to be the 28th. So December came. She's like, no, I don't have the money. And I'm like, Aunt Sheila, like, I need this. I don't have a job. But, you know, she's like, well, you know, basically, you'll get it when I get it. So I said, Aunt Sheila, I'm going to come get the car. She called me back
later.
This
is what day?
This is December the 10th.
When was the last time she paid before December 10th?
She paid in November, and I don't have that payment. But
do you
was,
have the receipt from November?
Yeah. For November?
Yeah.
Yes.
I let do. Me see it. Let me see all your receipts.
Oh.
All right. So let's see this now. The 600 happens on 8/26. Then on 9/11, 2 weeks later, the 300 happens. So it should be on the 26th of every month. Mm-hmm. Where's the payment for September 26th? You think that because you stretched out August payment into two parts that you don't have to pay September. So September 26th, you don't pay. And then the next time you pay is October 9th. You pay 200. November 8th, you pay 200. December 10th, you pay 200. And that's it. Then what day is the car repossessed? Do we have a police report?
It was the 8th of January.
Yeah. Why so early?
Because it was...
I know. See, here's the thing. You have been behaving as though it was... You have been accepting it. And then something snapped. Why did you snap?
So would you do business with a relative?
Personally, I would because I trust my family members and it'd be easier to find them if they need to owe you money.
Okay. What do you think?
No.
Because?
Never goes right. Always gets messy.
And ruins relationships.
Absolutely.
Fair point. Going inside the courtroom.
I just, every time, like I said, every time it was time for a payment, I would have to call her. And then she just got really nasty every time I called to be you not get, you know, cursing me out and I'm not getting anything. And I'm like, Aunt Sheila, if you don't pay me the money, I'm coming to get the car. And she was like, well, come get it if you think you can and this, that, and the other. And I went and got it because the other thing is she's driving the car registered in my name that I'm still paying taxes
on. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Right. And right.
Where's the car now?
I get a friend that sells cars. He's trying to sell it for me, but it's still mine. I have it.
Do you two talk to each other or you don't talk to each other now after that?
No.
What do we do with the fact that she's paid you $1,500?
I figure, you know, you breached the agreement. You're going to have to pay something for driving it for the last 6 months and the taxes being in my name and all of that. Like,
well, here's the thing, though. But either she breached the agreement or she didn't. That's really what this is about. Because she expected to own a car, not to rent a car.
Right.
All right. I'm not sure what to do. I got to tell you. Because she paid almost the whole thing and you were so tolerant. And so her argument is, oh, my God, she snapped when she... We have been doing it my way all along. Why can't it continue to be my way? But I understand you too. Yeah, but there was very little left. There was 2 months left, and mm-hmm. I understand you too.
Well,
that you
nervous.
Just had it because you know you feel like why does she get to run all over you? Especially if it's true that she talked to you the way you're talking about.
I think
talking
that
to.
Is not true, and believe
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is
no,
because I really do. I think it is because
no,
I can't imagine if you had been apologetic and begging, this would not have happened. I know
no.
that.
If it was,
I am sure that's not. I don't need anybody to talk anymore.
Sorry.
I am sure that's not how it happened. I'm going to order a portion of the money returned. Because now you're going to pocket 3,000 something, which is a true blue book value. You're right. And then her 1,500 also. But it's not, I'm not going to turn around. What if you can't sell it for that? What if you have to sell it for less? You know, so the ideal situation would be if she had sued you after you had sold it, and then we'd have finite fixed amounts. So I'm just going to have to kind of guesstimate around here what it is. Taking into account that you definitely breached the contract. There's no question about that. I'm going to order $750 returned and nothing more. That is my verdict.
P gets a little bit of money back, and here's the defendant coming out here. What's your smile about?
I'm just glad it's over with.
So am I.
Yeah.
What else?
You know.
How did this happen? Selling the family?
Yeah. Never, ever, ever do that. Or get your money up front. It's not a problem selling the family, but you need to get the money up front, I think.
Mm-hmm. And your relationship now with your...
Oh, it's never been good. I hope it can get better. We're family. You
maybe
know,
this will be the start of...
I don't know if this will be the start, but we'll work it out.
All right, okay,
thank
good.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
All right, so step on out here, and you're shaking your head there, and what's going through your mind here?
I just would never deal with a family member ever again. You know, she lied through the whole case. She said that I got upset with her over the phone. That's not true. That's never. It was the other way around. But I will never do a deal with a family member again. That's all I have to say. But I got $750 worth of it. Yeah, I got something. So I'm happy about that. But I will never do that again.
Harvey.
Okay, Kurt, if you do business with a relative, which is a dicey thing to do, all the more reason to get everything in writing with emails back and forth. It is important to do, and I'm telling you, for the sake of preserving the relationship.